guest, Rick Fellender, is a longtime Chicago Sun-Times columnist. He was there when Michael was drafted. He was there during the Bulls' two championships. And Rick is all over the Bulls' ESPN series, The Last Dance, with two more episodes tonight at 8 and 9 o'clock on ESPN. And Rick Fellender joins us now. How are you, man? How's everything?
Everything's good, Pete. Everything's good.
Jerry Krause, the most hated man in Chicago this week.
Yeah, you know, when you have one of these kind of epic stories, you need the bad guy. And they kind of established him early on as a bad guy. I think as this series goes on, we'll see, you know, some other sides to him. The guy did have some good qualities. He honestly did. His main problem was he didn't have the social skills to get along with these athletes. And all he really needed to do was just get out of the picture, stay in his office, do what general managers do, get talent, whatever. But he was always there. He was in the locker room. He was on the first seat on the bus with all the, you know, the team. So they all had to walk past him every night. And, you know, so he's been established as the guy in the black hat.
were they too, Rick, were they too hard on him last week in those first two episodes, or did he deserve it?
Well, a little of each. I don't think they were too hard. I think they're being very even-handed. Remember, the reason the Bulls won, sure, organizations win championships. I mean, we all know that. You don't need to restate the obvious. But you had the greatest player in the history of the game ever, Michael Jordan, and you had possibly the greatest second fiddle guy in the history of the game in Scottie Pippen. You had a rebounding lunatic, Dennis Rodman. I use the term lunatic in many, many ways.
Right.
And you had a great supporting cast. You had Steve Kerr, mm-hmm. who would come off the bench. I was just looking up a stat of his. His average shot length that entire season, they keep that stat, if you can imagine, was 20 feet. That's his average shot. So I don't know if he ever took a layup. He might have, but he'd come in. He's a three-point guy.
All right.
He has 7'2" Luke Longley. Ron Harper was just a guy who was just there, just a great defensive player, great sidekick. And, you know, the team was incredible. So Jerry Krause, just get out of the way. Yeah, you assembled it. Get out of the way. So I don't think they were too hard on him, and Scottie Pippen's loathing of Jerry Krause was legit.
Well, let me ask you about that, because they painted Scottie as the guy that was underpaid, and then he turned on Jerry Krause, and he said he never wanted to play for the Bulls, so he kind of became the bad guy towards the end of the episode. I forgot all this. I forgot that Scottie waited until the first of the season to have surgery, and I forgot about the comment where he said he never wanted to play for the Bulls again. I just remember the good times where they won the championship. But how bad was it with Scottie?
It was bad. It was bad. I remember well when they won that championship at the end of the 96-97 season, and he did have a bad foot, and people thought, well, you know, I thought he's either going to have surgery or, you know, you can work it out. We didn't know how bad it was. Maybe therapy and the summer off will do it. But when he waited the whole summer to have surgery and missed, I want to say, the first 35 games of the year, you know, almost half, because he had surgery so late. Yeah, it was devious. It was dubious. But here's the thing about Scottie, and I think they brought it out pretty well. The difference between his social skills, his intellect, his upbringing was light years apart from that of Michael Jordan's. He was a poor kid, raised in poverty, one of 12. I can't remember if he was the 12th of 12 kids. He watched his father have a stroke at the table and be in a wheelchair the rest of his life.
Right.
Michael Jordan, on the other hand, had a much smaller family. I think there were four or five kids. He had four brothers and sisters. And or three, I can't remember, but Dolores and James Jordan were there. He had a family. He's a much more savvy, clever, all kinds of things that Scottie was not. And so when Scottie felt this way, a good general manager, a good system would understand the quirks of your players. And that was Scottie's quirk. He felt the world didn't appreciate him. He, in a lot of ways, he was Jordan's number oneness, if you will, his leadership, his dynamism, his ability to lecture the team. I think that'll come out the way he harangued other players, the way he pushed them,
right.
Sometimes in a damn nasty way. Scotty didn't have any of that. So him feeling like he was underpaid, that was everything to him. So, yeah, you know, what you're going to see in this series, all 10 parts, is just a human drama. We know how it ends. We know how good this team was. We know they're going to win the championship. We know everything about them. I mean, you know, you saw it, Pete. I saw it. So did everybody. And now we're getting into the details.
That's the thing. We know the ending, and we're riveted by this whole thing. But a few observations. Number one, Dolores Jordan, Michael Jordan's mother, looks absolutely fantastic as a 75-year-old woman. She is gorgeous.
Yes, yes. Listen, don't forget. We're parsing this whole thing. Michael Jordan was a very handsome man. I mean, he's getting older. My kids are saying to me, hey, Dad, why are his eyes so bloodshot?
Yeah, what's going on with the eyes there? My wife was asking me about that.
And the glass of bourbon or scotch sitting right next to him. But Dolores was also, rather tall. I think she's about 5'10".
Mm-hmm.
And James Jordan was not. I want to say he was 5'9".
Oh,
maybe 5'10". Michael's brother, Larry, is only 5'9". Michael Jordan, in these family photos, he was not a great-looking kid. He looked kind of all ears and elbows and stuff. But he's 6'6", and everybody else in the family is kind of normal size. It's like, how did this happen? But he's a very handsome man. His dad, when he was younger, was a handsome guy. Michael looked great in a suit. He had perfect white teeth.
Yeah.
He knew how to smile. You know, he was everything in a lot of ways that Scottie Pippen was not.
Right. There was a lot of jealousy there. I got to ask you about Jerry Reinsdorf, because it seemed like Jerry Reinsdorf always sided with Jerry Krause. Why did he give him so much rope in 98 when Jerry Krause said, if Phil goes 82-0, he's still not coming back?
Well, there's the rub, isn't it? The buck stops at the top. The the owner owns.
Yep.
The ultimate decisions. If we don't believe that, from the president to the CEO to anybody on down, politically, economically, if you don't believe the man at the top controls things, then why do you have a man at the top?
Right.
And Jerry Reinsdorf had the ability at any moment to stop this. He could have said, Jerry Krause, take a hike, or you're going to now scout for the White Sox. Your personality doesn't fit these players. And we're going to make a special exception. I want you to, or I'll do it, for Scottie Pippen. These other people who just don't like you. Michael Jordan, as you saw, never forgave him. Never forgave Krause for not letting him play after Jordan came back from his broken foot in his second year.
Right.
Never, ever forgave him. And believe me, Jordan's got the memory of an elephant. He never forgets. He is a killer. And if you're on his bad side, good luck ever getting off. Like I pointed out, Sports Illustrated embarrassed him after making him their Sportsman of the Year in 1992. In 1994, when he went off to play baseball, they had an embarrassing cover of him. It showed him in a Birmingham Barons outfit.
Right, I still have it.
See a lot more the baseball tonight, but he is missing a pitch. He's in the batter's box. He's swinging, and he's missing the pitch by about 10 inches. And it says, Michael Jordan and the White Sox embarrass baseball. That's the cover of Sports Illustrated. That was 1994.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Michael didn't like that, and I don't blame him. And he said, no, that's it. I'm not going to talk to them ever again. So here's the greatest athlete of the greatest basketball player ever, and was voted the greatest athlete of the 20th century by ESPN, who will not speak to Sports Illustrated ever again. And that was 26 years ago. And guess what? Still hasn't.
Oh, my gosh. Rick, I'm going to have you hold on a second because I have so much more to talk to you about. Rick Tellender from the Sun-Times on the phone with us. We have two more episodes tonight of The Last Dance on ESPN at 8 o'clock and 9 o'clock. And people are texting in right now. I missed the first two episodes. They're on demand. You can get them on demand and watch those. And ESPN is re-airing those, too. More with Rick coming up next. This week on Chicago's Best, it's Chicago's Best Meat Lovers. Tonight at 10:30 on WGN-TV, on the phone with us from the Chicago Sun-Times, Rick Tellender, who is all over the ESPN series tonight. Episodes 3 and 4 air at 8 o'clock and 9 o'clock. Rick, 10-part docuseries, the largest ratings ever in the history of ESPN outside of a game. Is it because of the drama, or is it because of Michael Jordan?
Oh, I thought you could say, is it because of me?
Or because of you, because you were all over the first two episodes.
Well, yeah. Well, then let me just say yes, because of me. No, seriously, I did that interview with Jason Hare, the director. I think it was 2 years ago, his first trip to Chicago. He thought maybe he was coming one time. He told me recently he came, I think, five or six more times, talked to 106 people.
Oh, wow.
But listen, this is a drama, of a wonderful, wonderful drama to be played out. It's kind of like movies that we see that we really like, even though we know the story, like All the President's Men was a great movie, all about Watergate. We all knew how that turned out. There's lots of movies like that. Black Hawk Down, we know what happened before him, but to see it documented is fascinating, and especially with the details that these guys at ESPN and Jason Hare, who did the 85 Bears, by the way, which was also a wonderful documentary. Yeah, that was terrific. Well, he's a very talented guy. He gets along. He's able to manage all these people, dozens of people working on this, because the treasure trove that they found was that there were 500 hours of unseen footage from NBA films from that season. Oh. Barry Reinsdorf and Phil Jackson, and apparently Michael Jordan, had signed off, even though they weren't really thrilled by it, to let NBA films follow them around the whole season. Before they knew it was The Last Dance, but they didn't know how it was going to end. So that film is what's astounding about this whole thing. It's never been seen before. Jason told me, the director, that it took over a dozen people. More than that, I think he said. At one point, I think he said 60 people had worked on this project. A dozen people, like 2 years, to watch and catalog every minute of those 500 hours.
Oh, my gosh.
So think of that. So we're seeing something that none of us have ever seen before, the details, the inside look. And I think there's going to be moments where some of the Bulls are pretty pissed off about this camera right in their faces.
Of course.
That's what it was.
Right.
Yeah.
They're going to be upset about that. I mean, this docuseries has, sports, the greatest basketball player on the planet, which we talked about, vying for his last championship. The drama with the storylines with Michael being pushed out, Scottie being disrespected, Phil not being re-signed, Jerry Krause as the villain, all the different personalities. And one of tonight's featured episodes is about Dennis. Now, you're in the series. How do we see Dennis tonight? Because one of my fondest memories, when you think back to those last three championships, is the mural building right off the Kennedy. Bigsby,
oh, yeah.
Bigsby and Carruthers used to advertise there, and they had a mural, the side of the building, with Dennis in a suit and tie and cut off sleeves, and cars would pull over, they would stop traffic, and they would take a picture in front of the mural building. I mean, this was the biggest thing in the United States back in 96, 97, and 98, wasn't it?
Oh, it was incredible, and I remember that ad. I remember the Silverberg brothers, who had Bigsby and Carruthers. They were great guys. They were the warmest, kindest, just wonderful guys, and everybody was wearing their suits because everybody wanted to look good because Michael Jordan did.
Right.
Except for Dennis Rodman. And so you have the clown prince, you have the jester, the lunatic on this team, too. Don't forget, if you're looking at this as kind of like a, Greek mythology, you got every character that you want, you could ever want in this group, including Phil Jackson. But I'm glad you brought up Dennis Rodman. I liked Dennis. I was kind of pals with him, but he would go off the rails. There were times during the season or earlier when he might not show up for practice. And Phil Jackson, instead of going nuts, saying you're fine, you're suspended or whatever, he and Michael, the whole team, would talk about it or whatever, and they wouldn't acquiesce, but they would make some allowances for his complete utter eccentricities. Don't forget, that was 2 years before he married himself in a ceremony in Midtown Manhattan,
right,
while wearing,
yep,
a wedding dress, mm-hmm, and a feathered boa in a carriage. Okay, this is a leading rebounder in the history of the NBA.
he was so good. Remember, Dennis, he wasn't a fat guy. It was all muscle, and he would guard Shaq and Hakeem and all those guys, and he would take them down, and he would pull down 20 rebounds a game, which was ridiculous.
Yes, and he was only 6'8". He wanted to be hurt. He wanted to be beaten up. You know, when I went down to San Antonio when he was with the Spurs, and I went down, he just went down, this is before he came to the Bulls, and he had just come back from Las Vegas where, as he described it to me, he went there to lose $35,000, and it took him a while to do it, but he did. And his ex-wife, Annie, went crazy, like, what's wrong with, you know,
yeah,
he was off the rails. Give it to your daughter. She might want to use that.
Right.
But Dennis was kind of nuts. And I remember we're walking along the Riverwalk there in San Antonio. And he said, you know, let's go into this bar. So we went into Dick's Last Resort that they had there. I think Chicago has one or had one along the river.
We still do. Yep.
Okay. That chain, boats can pull up and stuff.
Right.
And we go in there, and you know, we might have had a beer or whatever. We just chatted and then came out. And he said, wait a minute. And he goes back in. I said, okay, I wait by the Riverwalk. He comes back out, and he bought me a T-shirt, a Dick's Last Resort T-shirt. And he just kind of hands it to me. He doesn't say anything, nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, well, I've never had anybody I wrote a story about do that for me. But he could also do the craziest, most self-destructive things in the world.
Right.
And destructive to the team, but they made it through. So I'm really looking forward to this episode.
And speaking of Jerry Krause, Jerry pulled off the trade Will Perdue for Dennis Rodman.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you about that, first of all. I talked to Jerry beforehand. They needed a power forward. And they had Tony Kukoc. He,
yep,
was playing power forward, and he was not. This is 1995. Okay, so they knew they needed something. And Dennis Rodman was available. Everybody knew that. The whole NBA knew it. Who in the world is going to take this nut job? And, I mean, you knew that he would destroy your team because, mm-hmm, he had gone crazy. So many things. He'd been near suicidal with a rifle outside the Palace of Auburn Hills when he was with the Pistons. He was getting one tattoo after the other. He had all the – this was before people got tattoos.
Right.
Before soccer moms got them. And he had piercings everywhere. He went out with Madonna. He was doing – you never knew what he was going to do. And so everybody knew he was available. And it's like Jerry Krause said to me, no, we'll never get him. No, no. You know, for obvious reasons. And I just let it go. And I want to say a month later, they got him. And it's like, here, Phil Jackson. Here, Michael Jordan. Here's a ferret in a cage. Good luck with him. And so it wasn't like it took genius to get this guy. Will Perdue for Dennis Rodman? I mean, nobody wanted him because he was crazy.
Right.
And so the whole onus of having him and making him contribute to this team was on Phil Jackson and the other players on the team. And you cannot understand what a burden this would be for any coach.
And Rodman was hated because he was on that Bad Boys team of Detroit. But Phil, I hope he gets more credit because he didn't get enough credit in the first two episodes, how he managed personalities with Dennis, with Michael, and Scotty, the big three. He was a master at managing personalities.
Yes, he was, Pete, and that can't be overstated. You know, I read his book, Sacred Hoops, and I read it a couple times, highlighted things. It was written by Hugh Delahanty, who is a practicing Buddhist, and he's a good friend of Phil's. And I knew Hugh. He'd been an editor at Sports Illustrated. He's a really good guy, just a very, you know, at-peace kind of guy. Phil, it's too easy to say, oh, here's this, you know, this lunatic hippie, this Grateful Dead-loving, dope-smoking hippie. It was way more than that. And remember, the complexity of this,
mm-hmm,
Jerry Krause, the polar opposite of Phil Jackson, is the one who made Phil the head coach.
Right.
And Jerry Krause deserves endless credit for that.
Mm-hmm.
He truly does. So Phil was able to handle this incredibly disparate set of players. Don't forget, Steve Kerr on that team would go on to, you know, he would win several more championships, or maybe he'd already won. I don't know. But I think he himself has like six championship rings, three with the Bulls. He's now, you know, won a championship with the Golden State Warriors. And I'm sure Steve's a terrific guy. And I'm sure if you were to talk to him, or, you know, I would, and I'd just say, how much of Phil's teachings rubbed off on you? And I guarantee you he would say a lot.
Oh, I'm sure. The Last Dance, parts one and two will be airing tonight before three and four. Now, can you give us a peek, since you're in the series, what happens tonight? We have Dennis. What's the next episode? Do you know?
No, I don't know. Listen, I'm doing a podcast after each of these things
with Roper.
Richard Roper.
Yeah.
And Roper has seen them all. I scanned them a while back, but we decided we don't want to see them in advance.
Okay.
I don't want to know, because this is like, for me, this is like watching a great movie.
Right.
I'm like, I want to see it the way everybody else sees it. So I really don't know what's coming up. I think Roper said, we talked today, I think he said there might be some Jordan baseball stuff.
Okay.
But I really don't know.
I can't. I just love it. I mean, I can sit there with my wife, my 14-year-old son. He knew how great Michael Jordan was, but seeing him in the passion on screen now, my son Charlie is like, oh my gosh, he was the greatest. I'm like, you haven't even seen it
yet.
That's
terrific, you know?
Right, absolutely. Yeah. Rick, you are the best, man. It's great to hear your voice, and we'll talk again very, very soon, since we still have six more episodes left after tonight.
Yeah, Pete, we'll always have Peoria.
We will. Rick and I, both from Peoria. You went to Richwoods. I went to Bergen, which is now Notre Dame. Yeah.
That's okay. That's all right.
You're the best, Rick. Thank you so much.
Take care, Pete.
All right. That is Rick Tellender. You can check him out in the Sun Times. And he and Roper are doing that podcast after the next episodes, which are happening tonight. I'm telling you, if you haven't watched this, you need to tune in. ESPN. All four episodes will be airing tonight. One and two that were shown last week, airing before three and four, which start at 8 and 9 o'clock on ESPN.